The hardest part was figuring out where to go. I didn't want to explain military life before talking about what I needed. Safeguard Veterans connected me to people and resources that understood military life. That made taking the next step easier.
You served others. Let your community support you. Visit safeguardveterans.net and click on your city. Safeguard Veterans. Any door, the right support.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining me tonight here on Off Limits. We are talking tonight about the victory today with the Defensive Marriage Act being overturned, as well as Proposition 8 being considered unconstitutional in California. So if you want to call in during the show, the number is 323-843-6160. I'm happy to take your call and get your opinion on this matter. And if you want to know more about me, you can go to offlimitsshow.com. You can go to offlimits on Twitter as well as on Facebook. And you can also find me at blogtalkradio.com/offlimits. Also on stitcher.com. So check me out in all of those places. Also, of course, on iTunes, on podcasts. Search for Off Limits Show or just type in gay in the category. And I'm on the second page, I think. So so today, it was a really wonderful day for those of us who are gay and married in this country. Before today, we had the Defense of Marriage Act. And the Defense of Marriage Act was signed into law in the 90s. And it was made to essentially curtail the rights of gay people in terms of having equality among gay married couples. Actually described that, or stated that gay couples were not able to marry in this country, period. And so throughout this time, you know, all these years, the past 10 years or so, specifically, we've had fights against it, whatever. The problem it's created or had created was there were states, there are now 13 states that recognize gay marriage and offer gay marriage in those states. The states that offered it, you could get married in those states, but the federal government didn't recognize your marriage as legal. So because of that, it kind of put gay people into somewhat of a marriage purgatory or something, and just limbo, because you could get married in a state and you could get all the rights of the state, but you couldn't file income taxes. You couldn't get federal recognition of your marriage. You could, if you were in a binational relationship, for example, if you, one of your partner or whatever was from Australia and you were from America and you both lived here on a visa and their visa expired, they could be deported. Whereas if you before, you know, got married in a state, it didn't matter to the federal government, they could still be deported. But now with the overturning of DOMA, it means that couples like binational couples will be able to get married just as they do as a heterosexual couple might. And that other person automatically gets citizenship here in the United States as well. So they're treated equally. And also we'll be able to file taxes if you are married, and as well as a joint couple or whatever. And there's 1,100 rights that you get being married in the United States of America that heterosexuals rarely recognize or realize when they get married, that they get all these rights. And so obviously visiting one another in a hospital if one's sick or something, and not being having to pay estate taxes when the other dies, being able to inherit or without paying a tax, and also being able to get Social Security income once your spouse dies. Because now or before, heterosexuals could get the Social Security benefits of a spouse after they died, until they died, and gay people couldn't. Now we can't. So it's a really wonderful thing that happened today in the overturning of the Defense of Marriage Act. Actually, what it did is overturn a portion of the act. Wasn't the entire thing. What it essentially did was overturn the portion that stated that the federal government would recognize gay marriages. That's no longer the case. They are now obligated to do so because it was deemed that heterosexual couples would be treated as second-class citizens and not equivalent to the marriages of heterosexuals. Therefore, they overturned that portion. However, still remaining is where it says that a state does not have to recognize gay marriage if it doesn't want to. And that's what Proposition 8 was going to address. If the court had actually stated Proposition 8 is unconstitutional and all states must recognize gay marriage, as the Defense of Marriage Act decision stated, essentially stating that, you know, it was unconstitutional not to. If that had happened, they'd overturn Proposition 8, then all states automatically would have had to have recognized gay marriage and would have had to offer gay marriage regardless of what the state wanted. But they chose not to do that, because they're very big on states' rights in this country. And so they instead decided not to even hear the argument, or they decided that the people who brought the argument to the court didn't have any merit to bring it. What that means is they had no stake in the game. They had nothing, no reason to be bringing this argument against gay marriage, because they asked them, what is the harm if someone is gay and gets married? And the people couldn't answer the question. No one could. And so because of that, that means they showed no harm to them, themselves, those who brought the case. Therefore, they had no reason to bring it to the court, and the court said, we're not going to address it. It is therefore means that Proposition 8 has been overturned, and now people in California, gay people in California, can get married again. So that's wonderful for California. It's wonderful for the other 13 states. It would now be the 14th state that once again will allow gay marriage. But there's also six other states remaining that do not allow gay marriage. And some even have constitutional, amendments, state constitutional amendments against gay marriage, precluding it. So what happens with all of those people? Well, I would be one of those, because my husband and I were married in Connecticut, and we live in Texas. And so now our marriage is federally recognized by the government. However, now, even though we have a federally recognized marriage, our state is not required to recognize it. So anything that happens in the state of Texas or within the confines of it, outside of federal recognition, IRS, whatever, now it doesn't change anything for us. So even though this was an enormous step forward, an amazing, great thing that happened today, there are many couples like ourselves that still are going to have to actually, unfortunately, fight for our rights in our own states that don't allow gay marriage at all. And the good thing is, in every single state that doesn't allow gay marriage, there is already an initiative, and has been for a while, every single one that doesn't allow it, for overturning such a law. And these decisions by the Supreme Court today essentially solidify and empower any arguments brought into the states that don't allow gay marriage. Because it says, how can you basically, what they're going to basically argue in the future is, okay, the federal government recognizes gay marriage, and you're forced to recognize that their marriage exists, even if you don't recognize it yourself. And other states are forced to recognize that these marriages are equal. So how can you continue to deny them equality? Because the problem is, if, for example, a heterosexual couple, if they get married in any state in this country, if they can go to another state, live there, and have the same rights as their previous state they were in, okay? That's what they're going to have to argue, and probably going to argue. Because when it comes to gay people, you're saying, okay, a gay person can get married in Connecticut, and they move to Texas, and they don't have the same rights. Whereas if it was a heterosexual couple, they would have had the exact same rights. So once again, you're treating two separate classes of people to two different tests indifferently and unfairly. You're allowing heterosexuals to have privileges that you're not applying to gay marriages, which DOMA, repeal of it, has determined they are equal. So that is what's going to happen, and that's going to be an incredibly, incredibly powerful ally in overturning any kind of state bans on gay marriage and implementing gay marriage in states that don't allow it. So states like I live in now, Texas, are going to eventually have to recognize gay marriage, whether they like it or not. That is the way it's going, and we're not going to go backwards, and things aren't going to be overturned. It's done. It's been decided. And that's the majority of the country who believe and feel that gay marriage is the right thing and is okay, and they should have the same rights, blah, blah, blah. That is the way the country has moved towards. 10 years ago, it was only, I think, 36% of the country believed in gay marriage, and now it's over 54% or something that believe in gay marriage. So that's an enormous change in just like 10 years. And so it is going to happen in all states. It's just going to take time. And of course, it will be in my lifetime, I'm sure, if I live an average lifetime. it will be in my lifetime, I'm sure. So fortunately, we're going to have the equality that we so deserve. And I'm very happy about this decision. I actually cried just a little bit when I saw it being announced. And And I was really just amazed that it actually was happening, because someone, when you are oppressed, as gay people are, and there are masses of people against you for something that doesn't even affect them at all, and you all you want are the same rights that everyone else has, and then you finally get those rights, it's just still a surreal moment for someone. Trust me, it is. And gay people and black people and Hispanic people and women, and you know, there's many different groups in this country that are oppressed. And being a gay person as well as biracial, trust me, I understand oppression. And anyone who says it doesn't exist is doesn't know what the fuck they're talking about. Anyway, so we're going to talk about some more about this in a minute. And we're also going to talk on the show tonight about more about the Paula Deen debacle, as well as the Trayvon Martin case, some things that's happening in that. So if you want to call in tonight and you want to give your 2 cents, you can call in at 323-843-6160, and I'm happy to take your call. I'll be right back.
Delilah, what's it like in New York City? I'm 1,000 miles away, but girl, tonight you look so pretty. Yes, you do. Times Square can shine as bright as you. I swear it's true. Hey there, Delilah, don't you worry about the distance. I'm right there if you get lonely. Give this song another listen. Close your eyes. Listen to my voice, it's my disguise. I'm by your side. Oh, it's what you do to me. 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 What you do to me. Hey there, Delilah, I know times are getting hard, but just believe me, girl, someday I'll pay the bills with this guitar. We'll have it good. We'll have the life we knew we would. My word is good. Hey there, Delilah, I've got so much left to say. If every simple song I wrote to you would take your breath away, I'd write it all. Even more in love with me, you'd fall. We'd have it all. Oh, it's what you do to me. 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 1,000 miles seems pretty far, but they've got planes and trains and cars. I'd walk to you if I had no other way. Our friends would all make fun of us, and we'll just laugh along, because we know that none of them have felt this way. Delilah, I can promise you that by the time we get through, the world will never ever be the same, and you're to blame. Delilah, you be good and don't you miss me. 2 more years and you'll be done with school, and I'll be making history like I do. You'll know it's all because of you. We can do whatever we want to. Hey there, Delilah, here's to you. This one's for you.
Number 323-843-6160. We're talking about the here, apparently. Hopefully you can hear me. Hold on. Okay, hopefully that fixed whatever was going on there. Sorry. So anyway, we're talking about the Defense of Marriage Act being overturned, as well as Proposition 8 today, as well as the Voting Rights Act, which I didn't discuss yet on my show, being overturned as well. And also Paula Deen and the Trayvon Martin case today. So so we talked a little bit about DOMA and Proposition 8, and I wanted to read to you about that before I move on. The if I can get my freaking mouse to work, there we go. The actual text of what they said today, because it pretty much explains why they voted the way they did in the Supreme Court, the majority opinion. So it says, DOMA instructs all federal officials, and indeed all persons with whom same-sex couples interact, including their own children, that their marriage is less worthy than the marriages of others. The federal statute is invalid, for no legitimate purpose overcomes the purpose and effect to disparage and to injure those whom the state, by its marriage laws, sought to protect in personhood and dignity. By seeking to displace this protection and treating those persons as living in marriages less respected than others, the federal statute is in violation of the Fifth Amendment. For same-sex couples who wished to be married, the state of New York, for example, acted to give their lawful conduct a lawful status. The status is a far-reaching legal acknowledgement of the intimate relationship between two people, a relationship deemed by the state worthy of dignity and the community, equal with all other marriages. It reflects both the community's considered perspective on the historical roots of the institution of marriage and its evolving understanding of the meaning of equality. Here's the state's decision to give this class of persons the right to marry. By the way, they did say this class of persons, therefore, considers gay people a class of people. Therefore, we do have rights, civil rights. Anyway, here's the state's decision to this class of persons. The right to marry conferred upon them a dignity and status of immense import. When the state used its historic and essential authority to define the marital relation in this way, its role and its power in making the decision enhanced the recognition, dignity, and protection of the class in their own community. Almost done. The avowed purpose and practical effect of the law here in question are to impose a disadvantage, a separate status, and so a stigma upon all who enter into same-sex marriages made lawful by the unquestioned authority of the states. DOMA, because of its reach and extent, departs from this history and tradition of reliance on state law to define marriage. The Act's demonstrated purpose is to ensure that if any state decides to recognize same-sex marriages, those unions will be treated as second-class marriages for purposes of federal law. DOMA's principal effect is to identify a subset of state-sanctioned marriages and make them unequal. The principal purpose is to impose inequality. The principal purpose is to impose inequality. That should be noted, hello. Not for other reasons like governmental efficiency. Responsibilities as well as rights enhance the dignity and integrity of the person. And DOMA contrives to deprive some couples married under the laws of their state, but not other couples, of both rights and responsibilities. Last paragraph. DOMA humiliates tens of thousands of children now being raised by same-sex couples. The law in question makes it even more difficult for the children to understand the integrity and closeness of their own family and its concord with other families in their community and in their daily lives. Under DOMA, same-sex married couples have their lives burdened by reason of governmental decree in visible and public ways. By its great reach, DOMA touches many aspects of married and family life, from the mundane to the profound. So that is the decision of the Supreme Court. And basically what they were saying is that DOMA basically was set up to basically create a second class of citizen, a second class of marriage in the country, and to essentially somewhat humiliate and make people, it humiliates children and puts them in a bad position, and it treats these marriages as second-class marriages instead of actually equal with their counterparts. So that is why they voted the way that they did, and I'm glad they did. Also, I want to talk about Paula Deen some more. Every day I'm talking about Paula Deen because more and more comes out about it. I've talked about it the past few days, but what I wanted to add was a lot of people saying, well, the woman who brought the case just wants money, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, the case, the fact of the matter is that the woman, first of all, a lot of people were saying, you know, she's black and the woman who brought this case against her, the woman who brought this case against her is Caucasian, and the woman who brought this case against her is bringing a sexual harassment lawsuit against her and her restaurant and her brother, particularly her brother. It just came out during the depositions and during the court case, essentially, that she had been asked how, you know, what the kind of work environment was, whatever, and she said it was really quite racist, the things that went on there and said, blah, blah, blah. But she herself said that she did not consider Paula Deen to be a racist. She said, however, that the environment that was fostered was racist. So this is coming from a Caucasian woman who's suing her for something unrelated to race. So I would feel that that gives her some more credence and some more credibility. And truthfully, it isn't even about what this woman says. What it's about is the environment that was created in these places, and the reason that Paula Deen has lost her shows, some of them, and some of her endorsements and things of that nature, isn't because she said the N-word once or twice. It's because she has a long history of using that word. She's admitted to doing it. Under the deposition she did, and then on TV she said she'd never had. So I wonder which one's true. She's under an oath. She tells the truth, obviously. She's on Matt Lauer, and she lies because she wants to look better. So, you know, look, the fact is that the woman, I'm sure that she has used this word many times before, and I'm sure that she has some sort of a, you know, institutional or internalized racism based on where she's from. And I keep hearing that used as an excuse over and over and over again. It is a reason, but it is not an excuse, and that's what I want to say about that. So, and then the Trayvon Martin case, of course, today they actually were talking, they talked to the woman that he was on the phone with, the girl he was on the phone with. He was a friend of hers. They said it was his girlfriend at first, but I think actually it came out later they were just friends or something. And the woman that was on the phone with him when they actually when this all happened, said that he had said some cracker is following me or something, and he won't get off my tail. I don't know why he keeps following me. He won't leave me alone. And he turned around and said, "Why are you following me?" And then that's when she heard the scuffle, and then she heard the phone scratching against the grass, and she heard him screaming or whatever else, and then the phone went dead, I think, and then that's when the actual eyewitness heard the gunshot, and of course right before that heard the yelling and the screaming by somebody saying help me or whatever, which we all assume was Trayvon Martin because it was a younger voice and not an older voice, and since he was found to be on the bottom most likely and not on the top, and this happened from what people could deem from what they could see at nighttime. And the fact that he was found dead on his back, it probably was him, and that's pretty much the way it went. It's obvious to me that this man that followed him, Zimmerman, is to blame for this, and it is obvious to me that the man is obviously not well. And he had called about, he was like obsessed with finding people to do something, you know, in his neighborhood watch post. And so he called the police many, many times before for just really ridiculous things. And I'm sure they were tired of hearing from him. But anyway, so this particular time something made him snap. I don't know what it was. But even if Trayvon Martin fought back, I don't know why people are saying that that's a bad thing. I mean, someone's following you, you hear footsteps behind you, and they get faster and faster every time you move and you're trying to run away. And I would be the same way. I've been running, you know, away from him, but he obviously turned to confront him, and asked him why he was following him, and that's what happened. So it is what it is. I mean, you can't really get away from it. It is obvious that this man murdered him, and he even used the stand your ground law. But the stand your ground law means you yourself have to feel you're in imminent danger, and typically it's to defend yourself from your own property, not from outside the middle of nowhere, someone else's property. And he shouldn't have been carrying a gun in the first place. He was told not to follow him, but he did. So that's what I have to say about that. Anyway, if you want to call in, number 323-843-6160, I'll be right back.
Make me Put my love out on the line. Never said yes to the right guy. Never had trouble getting what I want. But when it comes to you, I'm never good enough. When I don't care, I can play them like a Ken doll. Won't wash my hair, then make them bounce like a basketball. But you make me wanna act like a girl. For the other guys, when you come around, I get paralyzed. And every time I try to be myself, it comes out wrong like a cry for help. It's just not fair. Brings more trouble than love is worth. I guess.
So we're back. If you want to call in, the number is 843-843-6160. So after this whole day today with all the stuff that was going on in the news, and especially, you know, in regards to gay rights, I think that it made me think about people who actually had supported the overturning of this law, and people who had supported my relationship with my husband. And I want to thank those who did, excuse me, and continue to today. But as I said, the fight's not over for, you know, many people in many states. And we're still going to have to fight for, you know, full 100% equality. This is just a huge step in the right direction. But I was, you know, have been subjected to a lot of hatred on here, as well as many other places online, because I'm gay and outspoken. But, you know, I think that if you – there's a saying in Latin, and it's qui tacit consentit, or consentit, or something like that. And it means silence equals consent. And what that means is, essentially, you know, I have plenty of people in my life, or people I've known or acquaintances, whom say that they actually are in support of gay marriage, whatever, but whenever they are around people who may disagree with gay marriage or gays in general or homosexuality or whatever because of their stupid religion or something like that, instead of actually standing up for gay people or their friends or their family, they just remain silent. And so that's when I say that silence equals consent, because essentially if you remain silent in the face of bigotry or prejudice, it is the same thing as saying you consent to it. And so people often want to be let off the hook and say, well, what do you want me to do about it? It's not my life. It's not, you know, it's not me, blah, blah, blah. All you have to do is stand up for what you believe in. If you believe that gays should have equality, then you should stand up for it. If you don't believe it, then say that or stay silent, because it's the same thing. And so I get really tired of people, you know, trying to weasel their way out of standing up for their gay brethren or friends or family by simply saying that, things like that. So I just wanted to say that because, you know, a lot of people will try their hardest to make themselves look good in any situation, and they don't want to piss anybody off. The thing is, if you never piss anybody off, you can stand for anything, because you can't stand for something and have everyone around you agree. It just doesn't work that way. Everybody has a difference of opinion to some degree. So that's how I feel about that. And I'm exhausted because I had to get up really early today. I was up late, early last night. I was up until, let's see, 10:30 or 11 a.m. You know, I stayed up until see the actual verdict about the DOMA and Proposition 8. And was up until like 10:30 or 11 until I went to sleep, and I had to get up just a few hours later. So I'm exhausted, and I have to get up tomorrow at 7. So I'm going to cut the show short tonight. And thank you guys for listening. I appreciate it. And thank God that we actually had some sort of victory today in the gay rights arena. And I know it's just the beginning of great things to come. So I appreciate those of you who supported me and continue to. Hope you guys have a great night. Good night.
hang your shit on me.
Well, you can't deal with
this. 'Cause I'm not sorry.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. If you're a veteran or if you've got a family member or friend who served, I want to tell you about Safeguard Veterans. Sometimes the hardest part isn't asking for help, it's knowing where to turn. Safeguard Veterans connects veterans, families, and caregivers with local support and resources that understand military life. And when you're talking to people who understand those experiences, finding the right support can feel a whole lot easier. Visit safeguardveterans.net and click on your city. Safeguard Veterans, any door. The right support.